5.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here this afternoon. Carrie McQuiston is with us. She was the mayor of Baker City and a Republican candidate for governor in the 2022 election cycle and now has a book out. Carrie, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a minute, huh?
Yeah, it's definitely been a while. What have you been doing since the primary for governor ended in last year?
I have not paused. I thought I would get a little bit of a break, but I've been busy. I went straight back to book publishing, which is what I do for a living. I continued and through my term as mayor and saw that through. And then I started writing my own book, put it out there. I'm working as senior advisor for Republicans overseas. And now we're doing a constitutional carry initiative in Oregon. So busy.
So we'll talk maybe about the new initiative in a bit, but talk about what led to writing a book. Now, I did recall that publishing, that was your background already. So obviously you're several steps ahead of a lot of people there. But why coming out of a primary race did you end up wanting to write a book, and how did that process all evolve?
You know, when you're running as a candidate, there's almost this veil that comes down where you feel a little bit muzzled. There are things that you just cannot come out and say in public, because if you reveal every single thing that's going on, you know, behind the scenes of a campaign, you tend to look, caught up in drama or negative or, you know, and at that point, it's almost too late to get into there. And people on the outside of a campaign don't experience the same things that you do on the inside of a campaign. And that is never talked about out loud. And I wanted to do that. I wanted to get in there and say, okay, you know, we're losing these elections for a series of reasons, not just one reason. And here's what they are, and here's how we can fix that. You know, I wanted to bring people into my campaign to experience what I experienced, you know, for a year and a half.
Now, when you ran, how did you feel like overall things went?
Well, From starting with what I had, they went well. Obviously, the outcome was not what, you know, my campaign would have liked. I ended up at the end taking the second greatest number of counties in the state as opposed to the nominee. And I spent probably a fifth of the amount of money to do that. So when you look at it that way, I mean, that's a success. You know, it's a grassroots success. But, you know, like any grassroots candidate, I hit up against some walls with campaigning that, you know, I think any grassroots candidate's going to hit up against. So
now, when the race was set with the three main candidates and the minor parties, at that point, what did you think the outcome might be?
You know, when we went through the primary, if you're asking about what I thought the outcome in the general would be.
Right.
When we got through the primary, I knew immediately what the outcome in the general was going to be. And I sat down and actually wrote the introduction of my book outlining the outcome of the general election back in June of 2022. So there was no surprise for me at the end. I mean, things were set in motion that were going to continue in motion. I think that our general elections, especially in a statewide race, they are determined in very large part at the primary.
Now, the book title is The Government We Deserve. How did you arrive at that title, and kind of what is the premise, or what is the main thing you want to communicate with people?
You know, a lot of our founding fathers used that phrase, and the government we deserved. And the government we have now really is just a mirror of the state of our overall society and our voting pool currently. And I know if you're a very high information voter and you're involved and you're very knowledgeable, that's frustrating because it's balanced out. You know, there are those folks below that average who vote just based on what they see on Portland television. And, you know, in the end, though, it does average out. And, you know, it's kind of a hard pill to swallow. But I think the people we have elected really do indicate the general state of our society.
Now, though you figured out, you believe that you had figured out the income, the outcome rather, early on, what was it like to watch the general election process, having just gone through the primary yourself? Or did you take a break from some of that for a while?
You know, I took a break for probably a couple weeks and didn't follow it the way I would have followed it. You know, it gets very consuming in a campaign because you're looking at every single bit of media, everything on social media, watching everything that as it unfolds, because you have to stay on top of that for communications. And I backed off for that for a little bit and got back to my personal life, because you have to have some balance, you know. And my personal life and my professional life were going very well. So I just dove back into that. I don't think I had 2 seconds to feel, you know, and I wrote that in the book. I was never sad or bitter or angry or sour grapes or any of those things. You know, I just hit the ground running again.
Now, you were still mayor of Baker City until when?
Till the end of this last year. And I actually missed one meeting in December because I moved outside the city limits. And once you do that, you can't be mayor under our city charter. So.
And by the way, I said Baker because back when I lived there, it was Baker. It became Baker City later, although originally, if I recall, it was Baker City to begin with. But that's probably a whole other history program. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right, though. Yes.
So, and Baker, you mentioned, has finally gotten over a big hurdle, now over 10,000 people.
Yeah, I think about 2 years ago, it actually moved from small size to mid-sized city officially. We hit over 10,000 people, so it was historic.
So as you got back into, you know, working on your book and watching the race, talk about how things evolved in the fall. And do you feel like the GOP could have won the race?
I don't believe the GOP could have won the race with a moderate. And that's where I differ from the current political narrative out there across Oregon. There's this belief that's put out there through the media and through political pundits and consultants. Oh, no, we have to cater to the middle or to just left of the middle to be able to win this. And, you know, I propose the idea that it's the actual opposite of that. You know, we've seen 3 moderate candidates in a row get defeated pretty badly. We came a little bit closer this time than the time before that, simply because we had a splitter candidate in the form of Betsy Johnson, who probably took off from the Democrat side a little bit more than the Republican side. That's what polls were showing, you know, back before the primary. So if we need a candidate that excites the base. We have to have that. We have to have someone who's authentic and sticks to principles and aligns well with the platform that's outlined by the Republican Party. And there's almost this shame, even among Republican PCPs, in doing that. You're perceived as too conservative just if you follow the party platform. And we need to get away from that thinking. We have to have someone who can excite that conservative base and get people to turn in their ballots. You know, voters across the state are tired of using the phrase, "I have to hold my nose and mark the ballot." We shouldn't be doing that.
It was interesting as we got into the fall, watching things evolve around Douglas County. I talked to a number of folks who had gotten involved with the Betsy Johnson effort, who are longtime Republicans. I don't know what they ultimately did at the end. Obviously, Johnson raced out percentage-wise and was strongest at the front end, and later on fell back by quite a bit. Talk about that aspect, watching a third-party candidate.
You know, when she came out and started talking about her race, I kind of researched campaigns across the United States and Oregon, and I don't think I found any candidate that was successful with that strategy. And her strategy was basically to see if she could take enough votes off of both sides of the aisle to come out in the middle and win. And I think the most I ever found was maybe 15% of the vote in an election garnered that way. So it's not an effective strategy.
And did you feel like there were critical missteps on the GOP narrative? You said too moderate.
That's always a critical misstep. And it's taken over in Oregon for the last several years. We keep losing with that same mentality that we have to run a moderate candidate to placate people. And what happens when you're standing in the middle of the road is you're going to get wiped out by traffic from both sides. You know, it's not a wise strategy. Stay true to your convictions, come out, explain why you think you are doing the things you're doing, and get that base excited. We've got to do that. We've got to have a candidate who can do that. And we've got to have, there's other things, you know, that we need to stop tampering with, you know, in our election process. You know, media is not fair. They're not. They're going to block the most conservative candidates, and they did. And they successfully barred a lot of candidates who had previously qualified for the debate stage off the debate stage. You have lobbyists who are involved. You have big organizations, which I address in the book, who are beholden to the lobbyists. And so these folks come in basically and select a cultivated candidate. And these cultivated candidates are basically the equivalent of Oregon swamp. And Oregon swamp creatures are, again, those are those moderates that are not going to excite the base. It's a problem.
And I was looking over the promotional information for your book, and I found that interesting aspect that you just mentioned, Oregon swamp. Just how deep do you think it is? How big an impact do you think it makes?
It determined the outcome of this last election, absolutely. So, I mean, the real power base in Oregon falls behind the scenes with the lobbyist. That's the power. That's who puts forth these candidates. You know, I hear, ORP did this. ORP leadership, you know, cultivates these poor candidates. ORP leadership is not doing that. This is the lobbyist culture in Oregon working through, in large part, our Oregon Republican caucus. And, you know, I said the silent part out loud just now, but we have members of our Oregon caucus who are very beholden to that, and they select one of their own. You know, donations that come through. I want to see Oregon legislators elected, but what I don't want to see is their donations going straight through their PACs, all into the same PAC for a gubernatorial candidate, so that basically when you're selecting your legislator, they are turning around and selecting the gubernatorial candidate. And that's what happens in Oregon.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back more with Carrie McQuiston, The Government We Deserve, the new book, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow on Inside Douglas County, Brian Rooney, regional economist for the State of Oregon Employment Department. We'll talk about some economic data from the organization, from the agency that came out today, looking at prognostications about employment in Southwest Oregon in the coming few years. Carrie McQuiston is with us. The Government We Deserve, the book now is out. And Carrie, how do people get a hold of this book?
They can go on barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com. They can walk into their local bookstore and pick up a copy, or directly through my publishing company. It's blacklionpublishing.com. That's L-Y-O-N.
Now, obviously, you're interested in staying in the future, or staying in the political arena in the future. You're no longer mayor. Have you looked ahead to other things you might do in the future?
You know, right now we have just filed an initiative petition to establish constitutional carry across the state of Oregon. And if we're successful in that, we will be the 26th state in the nation to become a constitutional carry state. So that's going to keep me busy for the next few months, I think, because we technically need to gather more than 160,000 signatures. So with the buffer, that's over 200,000 signatures in the next year. So I would love to see that happen in Oregon.
And explain what constitutional carry, what that means.
It means that you don't beg permission from the government to be able to concealed carry your firearm. You know, once a right becomes something you have to ask the government to give you, it's a privilege, it's not a right. And constitutional carry reestablishes that as a constitutional God-given right.
Now, are you working through an organization, or is this kind of your initiative?
There are three of us actually working on this. So Joe Pulaski, he's the Marion County Chair for the Republicans, and Jean Sampson up in Clatskanie, she's a former city councilor. And we talked about this off and on all during my campaign. And this is kind of a fantasy to see that happen. And so the three of us got together and filed it this week. And, you know, we've already started laying out our network across the state. We're going to have petition leads in every county. I think we can do this.
Now, let's talk about going through the book behind the scenes in politics. in either party, I have always been told it's kind of like grinding sausage. It looks kind of messy.
It's pretty ugly behind the scenes. You know, when you go into this, you know, there's no way you're not a little bit naive until you've gone through the process. And, you know, you go in seeing what the Democrat side, you know, as a Republican, I see what the Democrat side does. And I line up no way, shape or form with any of their platform. And so I see the corruption there. But what you don't expect is to fight a two-front battle, you know, within your own party. And that does happen. You know, Republicans, they eat their own quite frequently. And you sure see it when you're behind the scenes of an election.
Well, the Oregon Republican Party has had a lot of turnover, a lot of changes. Are you concerned about its effectiveness at this point and even going into the future?
You know, I have been a PCP, that's the most grassroots level elected official in the Oregon Republican Party. And I've been one of those since I was 18 years old. So that's a lot of years of watching the party cycle. And I've watched the party build up to where it was stable and then implode and then build up and implode. And it seems to be stuck in that cycle. But the Republican Party, you know, ORP is not the be-all, end-all of existence in Oregon. There are things that we can do. You know, there are outside organizations that can help turn out the vote and help register Republicans. You know, gosh, there's legislation pending right now to do away with motor voter. That's critical, in my opinion, to getting rid of some of the corruption we see in our election system.
For the Republican Party, do you feel like in some ways there's sort of two Republican parties in Oregon?
Probably not just two, you know. I mean, you get, you know, the infighting within the party, I think, is notorious. And you have, for the most part, a very good slate of solid conservative people. But in my opinion, we also have an infiltration party problem within the Oregon Republican Party. You know, I've seen people come into the party who have no history nor no experience being a Republican, or they've come straight from another party into leadership, or they've had no prior voting history in the state, and suddenly they're put into a position with ORP. You know, they've worked their way up through. And then I watch as they don't accomplish anything, but they create chaos. You know, they label people who have either been in office for more than 6 months or who have volunteered for a couple of years. Suddenly they label those people rhinos. And it creates just an awful division within the party. And in my opinion, that's what they're there to do, is to create chaos. That's got to stop.
Now, contrast the Republican Party now with decades ago, when it really was, back in the 70s, 80s, more of a moderate-centered party in a lot of ways.
You know, it really was. I think Reagan's election and campaign started shifting that. He was considered a right-wing wacko back when he ran in Oregon, and his views were considered extreme. But, of course, you know, he won by a landslide, and that started shifting a lot of the views, I think, within the Oregon Republican Party. And then probably, I don't know, 5 years or so ago, the platform by that point was revised within Oregon to actually be a solid conservative platform. You know, that took a lot of working back and forth at platform conventions before it shifted from Democrat light into solid conservative. And it is. We have a solid conservative platform now.
So what should the Republican Party do looking to 2024?
They better focus on fundraising. They better focus on a little bit of unity instead of, you know, they need to kind of identify some of these infiltrators and neutralize these folks. I would like to see a little bit of a standard applied to when people are placed in some of these leadership positions. You know, if you are a brand new Republican, you have no experience, you don't know the party, you don't know the law, you were a Democrat 6 months ago, and you have a history of voting hardcore Democrat all along. Why are you being put in those positions? You know, that needs to be looked at. I would like to see the ORP get involved in the primary process just a little bit more. States like Alabama, for example, I talked to some of the folks there, and they have a process in place already to kind of screen the candidates a little bit, to make sure you're not getting infiltrators, to make sure the candidates line up with the platform. Wyoming has something similar in place. I think that could be very useful.
About 30 seconds left. What are the final thoughts you want to share about your book or your plans with our listeners?
Well, everyone should, of course, go go out and buy a copy of that book. Just go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or my Black Lion Publishing website and pick up a copy. They have it in Kindle and hardcover. We do have a paperback and audio coming out pretty soon.
All right, Carrie McQuiston, The Government We Deserve, the book, and I'm sure we'll be hearing from you in the future. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.